No.
Really?
Go back and do your homework. Try and wake up before the end comes and find out what the name of the tune is here. That haircut is called Hitler Youth.
Yeah, Hitler, but the kids
youth,
today
their
don't
their haircuts
know.
Were called bowl cuts.
Yeah, but the kids today aren't aware of that, are they?
No, of course not. But this is the point I have been trying to make for the last 20 years, is that I am a string saver. I am a researcher. And one thing that I have learned how to do,
yeah,
and that is pattern recognition. I recognize symbols, emblems, words, terms, and patterns in world events. And when you start doing that, you walk in on a crime scene, not as a rookie walking in on a crime scene, but like Columbo. You walk in, the old guy who's been doing it for years, and he already knows what the name of the tune is because he's seen it 1,000 times.
Mm.
That's the kind of thing I have been involved in for so many years. I can tell you what the symbols mean, where they come from, what they're connected to, and it's right here in front of you, and you never even saw it. Why? Because I've spent 42 years studying occult symbols, words, and terms, and one day this country is going to wake up and find out we've been had, and then the symbols and emblems are going to become overwhelmingly obvious, and you never saw them. This is why the scripture has Jesus saying, many will look with their eyes but not see. Listen with their ears, but not hear. And with their heart, not get the sense of it. This is an extraordinary situation in which symbols and words and terms that are used in government, when you walk into federal and state buildings and you see these plaques and emblems and symbols on buildings, in national coats of arms, heraldry, flags, presidential seals, you better wake up and see what's going on here. These are the same symbols I can show you. I've got boxes full. The same symbols that were found in Nazi Germany and also in the communist world movement are now being used in America everywhere.
Wow.
And the kids are now with their Nazi haircuts. People are now falling right in line with the anti-Semitism going on. Little by little by little, slowly but surely, the whole entire superstructure of Western civilization is going Nazi. And one day, all the good people in America are going to wake up and find out they've been had. Why? Well, because they didn't want to see the truth.
They talk
and
about the fascists.
We've been told so many times, Lou, that the German people, they just didn't know what was going on. I used to hang out with German people when I first came out here. I went to the German-American parties and German-American events because I liked the beer and I liked the music and I loved the people, and so I would go to all these events and I was always well accepted, and I would ask all the old German people I met here in Los Angeles. I said, did you guys, how could you possibly not know what Adolf Hitler was doing? And they all, to a man, everyone would always say, we really didn't know. We didn't know he was doing this or that. And in my mind, I was thinking, what a crock. How could you not know? You know, how could you not know what Hitler was doing when everybody else in the world knew? However, now that I've grown older and have a lot more experience, I look back on life and I look back on these people, and I think, you know what, I tend to believe them now. Because of maturity and background, I now tend to believe them. Why? Because we here in America are the same identical situation. We have no idea in the world what is going on, what the terms mean. Why is the government of the United States up on Capitol Hill? Why do we have the symbols on the flag? Where do these emblems come on the state seals? Why do you have these emblems on the presidential seal? We have no idea in the world what is going on, and the thing is right here in front of you. And the reason why is because we're too busy watching basketball and taking care of your everyday little expenses, and you never saw it coming.
Yeah. And right now the corporations, the multinationals, are literally running this country.
Bet on it.
Okay. Listen, Gary's been holding on for the better part of an hour. Let's take his call before we do the timeout. Fair
okay.
enough?
Okay.
Gary, thank you for your patience. Good morning. You're on with our guest, Jordan Maxwell.
Worth the wait. This is a good conversation. I enjoy this.
Well, thank you.
Okay. First things first. Ford, at the beginning parts of the war, had a manufacturing factory in Germany, and there was... bombers were told, you will not bomb it, period. At the end part of a war, an errant B-17 accidentally put a bomb through a few days before the end of the war, and the U.S. government ended up paying reparations to Ford for damaging their building.
Sure did.
Oh, wow.
That's true.
Well, I know
the Baker
disassembled
their stuff and basically burned it to the ground and then beat it back.
I know. I totally agree. You're right.
Delano Roosevelt administration knew about the camps from the time that they were initially putting the concrete in, and when the first ship of people that were actually trying to get out ended up in Cuba, the U.S. government wouldn't allow them in and turned them back into the camps.
Yeah, right. The ship of fools were aware of that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Don't forget IG Farben, your big pharmaceutical conglomerate, one of the largest corporations in the world. They, too, were off limits, even though they were supplying Hitler everything he needed.
Some place where you can look for some really information. I've forgotten. It's been a while since I've seen it. The magazine that puts out the Man of the Year?
Time.
If you go back in 1938 and look for the Man of the Year, it's Adolf Hitler on the front cover, and it's got about 40 pages inside this thing listing all the companies that your guest is talking about,
really?
And how he's such a good guy and what he's done and how manufacturing's up and how the U.S. is making money out of this.
That's right.
Really?
I mean,
magazine.
I saw this when I was like 16 or 17, and I was at the library looking through all the old magazines and stuff.
Fascinating.
I thought it was really interesting. Oh, and one thing, and then I'll let someone else on. You were talking about symbols?
Yes.
All right. Cross, half a circle connecting the top with the letter 26 down below, Christian identity. Now, if you go back and look in the Bible, I've forgotten what exactly it was, but the guy was head of the Israelis. He had taken a foreign wife, doing a bunch of the things on the thou shalt not. His son came in, killed the father and the son, and then took over.
Wait, killed the father and who?
Killed the father and his stepmother.
Oh, okay.
That was foreign.
Yeah.
No, killed them both,
yeah.
And then took over the Israelis. It's one of the sections in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And having done that, then he became the leader of Israel. And that's Fagan, Finian, something. Chapter 26, and
yeah,
that's where they initially came from.
This is what I was saying before, that you need to look at the word Holocaust.
Well, actually, what they were doing is this was one giant sacrifice.
That's exactly right. That's precisely my point. Now, the question is, who was doing the sacrifice? Who were they offering it up to? And what was the deal that was cut? What were they looking for? Whoever was offering up, obviously, Cain and Abel were looking for to make a deal with God. They were trying to get on his good side by offering up a sacrifice. All right. Then whoever was killing these people in the Second World War, it was one big sacrifice, like you said. What were they expecting? Who was doing the killing? What was the deal that was coming down?
Well, they never lost the war. They were only absorbed by other nations and continued.
Well,
we became them. The Soviet Union became them.
The Soviet Union killed more people than the Nazis did, and they were all their own
people.
Well,
actually, at the end of the war, when the Soviets went into their death camps, the Soviets looked around and went, wow, this is pretty neat. And they ran them for about another 5 to 7 years afterwards, using them in order to take care of all the errant prisoners that they had liberated out of the German camps.
Yes.
Because all the people that were Russian that managed to, unfortunately, live through the German camps were routed right back into the Russian camps.
They sure were.
And because they had been contaminated by foreign foreign thoughts and ideas.
And one of the American generals was Eisenhower. Eisenhower purposely, according to a plan, turned over millions of people to be slaughtered. Most people are not aware of
this. Oh, in Czechoslovakia and Hungary?
That's right.
When I was in college, one of the guys that I went to school with when he was in child was talking about when he was like 4 and 5 years old. He was Hungarian and happened to be on the wrong side at the close of the war, and they turned themselves over to the U.S. troops, and the U.S. troops turned them back over to the Soviets. And he had a long, involved story about his memories as about a 4 or 5 year old child inside of a old BMW, trying to make it to a neutral area.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. I'll let someone else on. And thanks for the guest. And I hope they went out with their lawsuit, but I don't hold much choice.
Let's see what happens. Thanks,
all right.
Gary. All right. Before we go any further, Jordan, we're going to have to do this timeout. Stay with us, Lou Epton, Jordan Maxwell. Wow. 731-1230, toll free, 1-866-820-KLAV, and we'll be right back.
To the Nevada Broadcasters Hall of Fame with outstanding performance, it's Lou Epton.
All right, 20 minutes left this morning, 20 before the top of the hour. Hi, Lou Epton, along with Jordan Maxwell. 731-1230, toll free, 1-866-820-KLAV. Jordan, right now we've got Kathy online. We'll have her join us for a little bit. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, ma'am.
We've talked at various times when you've been on Lou's show about the possibility that those that are controlling this world are possibly not of this world,
mm-hmm.
the shadow government.
Yes.
What I'm curious about is who is it that's instigating these wars that have gone on and on so that these corporations benefit?
Well, that speaks to my original premise when we first came on, when I said that the Holocaust is a sacrificial burnt offering, a ritualistic sacrificial burnt offering, meaning somebody is offering up dead bodies or burnt dead bodies to someone. Somebody has cut a deal somewhere with somebody. Now, when it gets that big and that much bloodshed, you've got to know it goes all the way to the top. So some bodies who are very, very powerful in world events, behind the world scenes, were involved in killing or sacrificial burnt offerings to someone. In other words, there's some kind of a deal that we have not yet been told about that we today refer to as the Holocaust. Something was going on here. Somebody was killing someone as a deal, expecting something in return. Now, the question that you just asked is germane to what I've been saying for the past hour, is that, yes, who are these entities at the top who are requiring sacrificial burnt offerings, and what are they, these entities at the world summit, what are they giving back? What is the deal that's been struck here? And why was it a burnt offering? Who's doing what, and who's benefiting, and what's the name of the tune here? And I am amazed, and this is even more amazing to me, is how many well-informed, well-read Jewish rabbis and Jewish authorities never, ever touch this question. They always talk about the terrible things that happened during the war, but when I have confronted the rabbis, they look at me as if I've got three heads. They don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about this. All we know is that a terrible thing happened, the Holocaust, and I said, yes, but why? What was going on here? How come so many of the truly powerful Jews that were in positions didn't say something at the time? I mean, if they were well informed, why didn't they say something and bring this out? Or some of the researchers that are alive today who are trying to bring this kind of material out. Nobody's talking. Nobody is explaining why American industry was involved with Adolf Hitler. Nobody is discussing. We hear all the time, the word Holocaust, but nobody is looking at the word and breaking it down in relation to all the other words and terms and symbols that are being used right now in America. So I'm just saying, I think that this is a wonderful story that needs to really come out into the world for the first time and deal with whoever these people are. Deal with this whole subject, and we're never going to be able to do that if we are closed-minded and bigoted, because the brain's like a parachute. It don't work if it's not open.
Yeah.
And well, I've read in various books over the past few years the concept that human race has been sold out to another race, not being of this world, for various reasons, experimentation. This is where abductions come in.
Yeah.
And I think, personally, this all ties in.
Well, I'll tell you what. My personal feeling on that, I think you're right.
Really?
And I'll tell you another thing, is that in the Old and New Testament, people may think that I am antagonistic to the Bible. I am not. What I am saying is that you need to read it for the first time. And I think that there's a huge and a humongous story in the Old and New Testament telling you something, but it's very cleverly codified in such a way that you will never get the knowledge of it if you don't sit down and start studying it. And once you figure out what the Bible is actually saying, and you're talking about angels, our sons of God, there's a subject that you want to get into. We could do 4 hours on that one. Just the sons of God. They're not angels. Sons of God, we are told in the Bible, and Christians will die to support the Bible, but they don't read it. In the book of Genesis and all through the Old Testament and even in the New, we are told over and over that sons of God came down to earth, mated with women. That means they're plumbing work. That means, and I can't imagine some hideous sun creature from another world talking a woman into bed, but I can imagine the women falling for good-looking, handsome men, and that's what the Scripture says. The sons of God were good-looking, handsome men. Even the homosexuals thought they were good-looking, handsome men. And I'm saying, wait a minute. Is there something going on here that there might be entities here who look like us but who are not from here? And I've got boxes of material on that. I've got all kinds of photocopies from Jewish universities and theological seminaries on that one subject. And I'm telling you, there's a lot there you don't know.
I have a book called Sex and the Paranormal, and it talks about cases where women have said that they've been asleep, and beings, entities, have come to their room and had sex with them.
That's right. And it's not just women. Movie stars have talked about the fact that men have talked about the fact that these spirit entities have sex with them. And I remember a long time ago, Sean Connery talked about that when he was first coming into prominence as James Bond, talking about spirit entities coming into his room sexually assaulting him.
Really?
And so I'm just saying that I believe, and it's just an article of belief based on my study of the Scriptures, that there very well might be entities here who look like men but who are in point of fact not. And that's why the Scripture says, come let us make man in our image after our likeness. And Rabbi, one of the most important rabbis in the country, some 35 years ago, told me that you're reading the Scripture wrong. It doesn't say God made man. Go back and open your mind and sit down and stop pontificating as if you know everything, and shut up and sit down and read. And for the first time, you will see the Bible does not say God created man. It says in Genesis 1, God recreated man, and God is Elohim, meaning the gods. This is why in Genesis 1:28 it says, God said, come, let us make man in our image. And then another scripture says, here man has become as one of us, knowing good and bad. And then when God came down to Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis, it says, God said, let us go down and let us see what is going on. And then the scripture says in Genesis 18 that the us was three men that come walking up into Abraham's camp. And the three men sat down, and one was the Almighty Divine Heavenly Father and the two accompanying men with him. If there is any validity to the Bible at all, I think we got a whole new subject we need to look at, and the church don't have it. Religions don't have it. They don't have it. And this is why Christianity and Judaism are both floundering in the face of their enemy, because they don't understand the symbols, the words, and the terms. This is what's appalling to me, is that they don't want to see it.
Okay.
It's an incredible situation. This is why the Bible has Jesus saying that this is what has condemned the world. Not that men were in the dark, but that they chose the dark over the light. There are too many people in the religious institutions in this country who don't want to talk about this, because it's very unfavorable. It's not something you talk about in mixed company. So what if Jews are being killed? Let's just talk about nice things like basketball and football and our new car and our new home. Somewhere you're going to wake up and find out you've been led down the garden road path.
Yeah.
And I'm saying all you got to do is read.
Okay, Kathy, thank you much.
Okay.
Okay, dear. We got to do that last time out and get it behind us. Let's do it. We'll be right back. Lou Epton, Jordan Maxwell, 731-1230, toll-free, 1-866-820-KLAV. I forgot about recreate man in our image. Whoa. We'll be back.
Inducted into the Nevada Broadcasters Hall of Fame with outstanding performance, it's Lou Epton.
Back we are for the final few, about 6 left this morning. Lou Epton with Jordan Maxwell, 731-1230, toll-free, 1-866-820-KLAV. Jordan, I think if I had a 6-hour show, you could fill all 6.
I've done 8.
Okay. We've got Rachel online. Let's see what's on her mind. Rachel, welcome aboard.
I just want to thank your guest for all of his information, and also I agree with him, and also the lady who called just before me.
Kathy.
I think also that the sacrifice was to extraterrestrials, and I think that's why we see such a huge boom in technology that happened after the 50s, like the computers and this genetic engineering stuff and the abductions and the testing, you know, of individuals and, you know, the whole thing. I think it's all intertwined, and I think it's all tied in. And the men of Earth who are really running things, I'm talking about for the extraterrestrials, they are doing it for power, but they're going to wind up being betrayed, I think, by the extraterrestrials once they're used.
Okay.
They're finished with, is my opinion.
Okay, thank you for that. And
thank you, Rachel.
I tend to think you probably are onto something. I see the same thing. I see the same connections. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there were. I can't go into court and prove it. But from all the indication of Scripture and for 42 years of reading and talking with rabbis and researching the words and terms, I keep coming up to the same conclusion, that there very well might be entities here who look like us and have something to do with the Jewish religion as such, or the old Hebrew establishment back in the ancient world. And I think, wow, what a story we got here.
Yeah. One of these
and
days,
Lou,
yeah,
in relation to, in Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, rabbis have explained to me that, and you can look this up, I can send you all the documents I've got on this subject.
Yeah.
It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1, but that's not what it says in Hebrew. It doesn't say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says, in the beginning, the Elohim, in the beginning of the creation, the Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And then second, it says, and the earth was without form and void. That's not what it says in Hebrew. Go back and read it. It says, and the earth became a waste and a desolation. It became a waste. It wasn't without form and void, but became a waste and a desolation, implying that it was already here, and there was already life, and then something happened, a great, terrible destruction, and it became a waste and a void. Now God has to redo it again. And now the gods, Elohim, are saying, come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Because in his image and likeness, he's not that hot. So come, let us make man in our image. And now he has become as one of us.
Yeah. You know, one of these days we're going to have to do a show. We're going to start with the first century and go backwards.
Yeah.
That should be something.
What a story that would be.
Well,
I would suggest that anybody wants to contact me or look at this subject, you don't need necessarily to contact me. Just go on the web. My website is www.bbcoa.com. bbcoa.com. And I think two things that you might want to look at, and that is a video set that I have called Symbols, Sex, and the Stars video, part one and two.
Hmm.
I talk a lot about all of this, and it's a slide presentation. It's not a, you know, it's not a Warner Brothers musical, but it is a slide presentation on all of these kind of subjects.
Yeah.
Nazism, fascism, all of these emblems and symbols. And there's two videos called Symbols, Sex, and the Stars you might want to get.
All right. That's bbcoa.com.
That's it.
Jordan, it's that time, and I sincerely thank you so much. And maybe one of these days we'll put together a show called First Century and Before.
I'd like to come to Las Vegas and do a seminar, an all-day or two-day seminar on nothing but the world of the occult that we have never been told.
Let's see if we can't put one together.
Love it.
In the meantime, you take good care, my friend.
Thank you, Lou.
And thank you so much for spending this time with us. Talk to you later. I want to thank my producers right now, Larry Wells and John Lindquist. They run the board, they screen the calls, and they keep everything moving along right on track. Lou Epton here. Hey, have as good of a weekend as you can, won't you? And join us, because Monday morning we'll be back. Same time, same place. And hopefully, you'll spend some time with us then as well. In the meantime, looks like a nice weekend out there weather-wise, so have a great one, won't you? And we'll talk again on Monday morning. Bye.